Well, this morning, Andrew fortunately is able to close off his long three-part series. And so I just want to, on behalf of the church, say thank you for these 3 weeks that you've been with us. For those, if there's anyone here who doesn't know who Andrew is, he prefers it that way. Now, he's the senior pastor of Willow Hill Vineyard Church, and he serves on our national leadership, and so he's a very important guy, you know, very important. And so over to you, bro. It's gone. It's all gone.
Morning, everyone. I want to say, before I get into this, man, this is a beautiful church. What beautiful, amazing people. Every person I've met, every person I've encountered over these weeks have been a blessing to me. You guys are really, really a wonderful bunch. And thank you to Ellen and Charles and the team for having us and trusting us. This is not a small thing, you know. Trust someone with your pulpit, you know. You never know what's going to happen. But all right, I'm here for the third week, so I can say whatever I want because it's my last. it's my last Sunday. So, oh, Ellen, yeah. If you don't like what I'm going to say, it's okay. Just a reminder: this morning is Advent. It's the beginning of Advent for those who aren't aware. 4 Sundays to Christmas, and yeah, just trusting that. That this will be a blessed festive season for you, as I kind of close off my series here this morning. Now I just want to wish you all the best and pray God's blessings and peace upon you in this season, that His love and His presence would be manifest in your lives. Yeah. So this morning we're going to talk about supernatural faith, and this whole week, as I kind of been preparing, I've had this sense and this expectation that God is wanting to pour out His presence over us this morning. Pour out His supernatural presence, His supernatural faith over us this morning. So I kind of would ask that you would just for a moment consider that God is here to encounter you this morning. This may not just be another church meeting. Yeah. So there's two things I felt. This whole week I've had this kind of overwhelming prompting and sense as I read Scripture and as I've prepared that God is wanting to encounter people this morning and impart supernatural, spirit-filled faith to people, and that He's wanting to heal people here this morning. So if you are sick, lame, or lazy, you have an appointment with Jesus this morning. Amen? So we're going to kind of get into this morning. You know, and I don't know why I'm always surprised when God moves in power. I don't know about you. I mean, maybe you guys just, you know, we walk in this. And in all these years of ministry, you see people healed. And it continues to surprise me. But it actually should be the way that we live our lives as Christians. We live the naturally supernatural life. But I know for myself, I mean, we had a really good friend of mine, Francois, in our church. And he had a shoulder replacement. And, you know, if you have a shoulder replacement, it's a big surgery. You're kind of strapped up like this. You can't take your arm out of the sling for 6 weeks, maybe longer, you know. And after 4 weeks, he comes to church and we worship. Next thing I see, he's in the front without the strap on. And I'm like, now he goes, no, God healed me. And he puts his arm in the air like this. And I'm going, dude, you're going to hurt yourself. But God healed him. And me, you know, being the pastor, I'm going, no, no, relax. Put your arm down. Don't hurt yourself. You're going to tear something. You know, like you're surprised when this happens. Like a couple of weeks ago, one of the ladies who's involved in our children's church, actually Daniel's fiance's grandmother, my son's, if you went to the first week, my son's engaged, just so you know. So they must get married and then I want grandchildren. That's the deal. But yeah, so Joyce is in our church, and her one eye had very blurry vision, like she couldn't even see the first row, And so she comes up to, said, I think God is wanting to touch some people, like if you're battling with your sight. She comes to the front, and I got about a meter from her. She looks at me like this, and she goes, I'm healed. I can see. And I'm going, are you sure? I haven't even prayed yet, you know. It's like, what's the deal, you know? That's the kind of, we had Ronnie Kiston preaching the one Sunday at our church. And in the middle of a sermon, she stopped and said, just hang on, I think God wants to heal someone now. And instantly, Liz, an old lady, and we'd been praying for her shoulder, she jumped up, she says, the pain's gone, I'm healed. And she threw her arms in the air, and she couldn't lift her arms. And no one even prayed for her, like Ronnie just stopped. She said, thank you, Jesus. Healed, and then she just carried on preaching. And you're like, now, are you sure? Like Joyce's sight was healed about 3 months ago. I still look and I go, are you sure you can see me? Hey? Now, okay, this is coming from the pastor. Okay, so forgive me if I'm doing a bit of emotional striptease. But we all have our stories to tell, you know. And we've all been through so much, spiritually, emotionally, physically, mentally. And I don't know how you do this life without spirit-filled, supernatural faith. It's so difficult for me to comprehend how anyone can get through life without faith. I have no frame of reference how you can do it. You know, and here's a little phrase that my sister shared with me, which has stuck, and I'll share it with you, a little throwaway comment that you can take away from this morning for free. So she said when she meets people who are atheists and they're going through stuff, you know what she says to them? You are so brave. I could never go through that on my own. I need Jesus, man. Hey? Isn't that good? Hey? So you can kind of, you can take that this morning, and when you meet someone who's an atheist who's having drug in their lives, sorry, drug, do you know? Yeah, we're in Centurion, you know what drug is, eh? No, okay. can I say that? Oh, okay. Just, you know, never know. But the Lord carries us through so many things and so many difficulties. And I want to just for a moment kind of personalize this a little bit and draw you into our own context a little bit. So the first quick story I want to share with you on this thing of supernatural faith is a story of Mandy's dad. And just so you know, these photos are not pre-approved by Mandy. So if she starts throwing Nazis at me just now, yeah. But you know what? Mandy's dad wasn't just her dad. He was my best friend. We grew up together. Mans and I have been together since we were 14 and I was 17. My own father passed away and he was a father to me and we became friends. We used to fish together and do all sorts of wonderful things together. You know, and he was just this amazing man. And he fell ill with his health. He was on our leadership of our newly planted church. Anyway. So he's not well. We go to the hospital. They check him and they go, oh, he's got a lower abdominal aortic aneurysm. Okay? That's a mouthful. Now, if you know what that is, it's kind of your artery comes out, your heart goes down, and it splits to go to your kidneys. And where it splits, that's where he had the aneurysm. Now, that is, what am I doing? Oh. And that is kind of one of the most dangerous aneurysms, because if that goes, your heart just pumps your blood and within minutes you can die, you know. The specialist came out, he said, listen, I can't do this. You need to go to Linksfield Clinic, but you need to know this is serious. He's probably got a 10% chance of making it through the night. And we started praying. I was driving behind the ambulance and God's presence came on me and I just knew that he was going to be okay. It was the strangest thing, supernatural, spirit-filled faith, you know. We get to the hospital, they go, no, now his heart's not strong enough to survive the surgery, so they've got to do an angiogram the next day. They go, no, look, he's got about a 10% chance of surviving the angiogram, never mind the aneurysm, but they did it and he survived, but I knew. Then the vascular surgeon comes and he goes, okay, we're going to do this surgery, but with all his health problems, 5% chance. But I just knew, man, God was in it. God was on him, and I knew he was going to be okay. 6.5-hour surgery, he comes out, Doctors are like, yo, we were not expecting that. Okay? But the next 3 days, he's got a 10% chance of... I'm not lying. Yes, you can ask Mans. And I just knew, man. And he made the 3 days. Then what happened? Because that clamped there to repair the kidney. Oh, just another miracle. The thing had burst, by the way. But it burst against his spine. And it had sealed like that. So God just did something. Anyway, his kidneys failed. So I go, okay, he'll be on dialysis for the rest of his life. I'm like, no, he won't. And the doctors looked at me like I was smoking the rosemary at the back there that was there this morning. Rosemary, what was it? Herbs. They said it was herbs. Okay, so I don't know what herbs. 3 months later, his kidneys started working again. Come on, you know. And that's the kind of thing I'm talking about. You know, we all go through stuff in life. But Dad pulled through, and I just knew that's the supernatural, spiritual faith that I'm talking about. And if you want to become more of the person God has called you to become, you need to engage with that type of faith. You need to trust God that He can give you that kind of faith. You know, it's not something that you, faith isn't something that you have proof of, okay? Supernatural faith is not a blind faith of just jumping into something and hoping for the best, but it's something that God imparts to us beyond our natural abilities. Yeah? So that's my mom, okay? So now, for your awareness, another story. When I was 16, I had a bike accident. I got hit head on by a bus, 6 months in hospital, 6 months in a wheelchair, and however many surgeries later. But on the third night, I was in ICU. And the doctors phoned my mom and said, listen, you need to come and say goodbye. It's not going to make it. She got up and they were getting dressed. And as my mom tells the story, the phone rang. And it was a Greek pastor from Zimbabwe, whose name was also Andrew. And he said to Rita, what's happened? I've seen this picture of your son and what have you. And my mom said, this is what's happened. And he said, no, God's shown me that he's going to be okay and be saved for his purposes. And you ask my mom that story, and she'll tell you in that instant she knew I was going to be okay. They wanted to take my leg off 4 or 5 times. She said, forget it. Jesus said he's got his leg. Just so you know, they are mine. Supernatural faith. I can't tell you how many times the Lord has given man's and our supernatural faith in our own lives. When things begin to get difficult. And that's the wonderful part of having someone like man's, because when my faith starts to waver, her faith is stronger, and we manage to get through this. But I mean, okay, now I'm going to just show off. That's my son Daniel and his fiance Amy, okay? But now when Danny was born, he was a couple of weeks old. They checked and they were like, oh, there's some dodgy stuff with white blood cells. And if you know anything about that, that can be some scary stuff. And we had a horrible weekend that weekend. But God carried us through and we just knew that he was going to be okay. And there he is. Check. Gorgeous, eh? Ah, looks like his mother. So, yeah, but look, it actually gets better, okay? Because now this is the person I forgot to introduce the last time, Anna, okay? Now, when Anna was born, she was a couple of weeks old. She ended up in pediatric ICU with what is called an RSV virus, a respiratory tract virus. And it was so serious. St. Anne Clinic was full, and babies were dying every day. And they set up an ICU unit just for Mandy and Anna. And Wayne and Bev came and prayed and what have you, but God gave us supernatural faith. And there she is, all 18 years old of her. God help us. But this is my son Josh, my oldest. Now, he was a sportsman. He's still a fitness trainer. That's his fitness outfit. He works for Switch and what have you. Do you know in his 18th year when he finished school, he was in 5 written-off cars. And he was only driving one of them. 5. Accidents that were not his fault. The one he was driving, he was working for a hotel in a Vito, you know, a big Vito. And he was turning, stopped at a robot. As he turned, the robot changed so he could turn into that lane. A guy in a Merc overtook in the wrong lane, hit him like that, and pushed the whole Vito into a tree. 5 written off cars. Not a bruise, not a scratch. And then you actually start to get a bit concerned as a parent. you know, after the third or fourth written off card. And we were at our national leaders meetings, John and Eleanor Mumford, if you don't know who they are, they kind of head up Vineyard worldwide kind of thing. They spoke at our conference this year. And Eleanor was there and she said, "This is nonsense. We're going to cancel the assignment of the evil one over your son." And she prayed. Man, the presence of God came, spirit-filled faith came, fear left, and well, there he is, 26 years old of him. You know, I don't know if you can identify with this, but now you've also kind of met my family, and babe, I haven't left anyone out, eh? I haven't got any more kids or anything. So if you went here the first week, I forgot about my daughter, so I'm just making sure I got everyone. Okay, yeah, I didn't put the dogs up, but, you know. But I don't know if you can identify with that. You know, ever been a time in your life when you've been going through so much stuff and you've just been prayed and God has poured out his presence. You just know that that God's in it. Or you have to do something and you feel this prompting and you just know that you know that God's in it. And you don't know how it's going to work out, okay? But you know that God's opening a door. God's moving you in a certain direction. You have no idea. You don't know about the details, but the end picture, and you know that you know. That's supernatural faith. All right? So now, in the Bible, we see the writer of Hebrews talks about faith. Hebrews 11:1. And we all have read that passage so many times. You know, faith is certain of being sure of. You know that one. So I took it out of the Message Bible because just so that we can read it through fresh eyes, okay? The fundamental fact of existence is that this trust in God, this faith, is the firm foundation under everything that makes life worth living. It's our handle on what we can't see. Isn't that a beautiful way to think of it? Yeah? And the Greek word, from the Greek, the word is pistis, which means persuasion, credence, conviction, truth, truthfulness of God, reliance upon Christ for salvation. It's the assurance of our belief, the reliability and trustworthiness and dependability of Father God. Do you trust him with your life? Because you know he knows you better than you know yourself. He knows your circumstances better than you know yourself. Then you know. Okay? So the Oxford Dictionary describes faith this way. Faith is complete trust or confidence in someone or something. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm a control freak. So I have faith in God, but then I kind of sometimes go, okay, God, do you need me to help you with this a bit? Because I'm not sure that, I don't know anybody. It's just me that does that. Huh? Okay, one or two others here, and the rest of you are just lying. You're in church, okay? But then, sorry. You're not lying, okay? I love you. All right. So synonyms. Oh, my goodness. Now you see, now you put synonym. Come on now. Babe, help me. The same word as. There we go. Okay. The same word. Faith includes. Yeah. Trust, belief. Confidence, conviction, reliance, dependence, optimism, hopefulness, hope, and expectation. See, I don't know how I can pull it back from that now, you see. Somehow I'm sweating. Anyway, but that's faith. Okay? But in this, we live in this cynical world, and when we focus on the stuff of the world, our supernatural spiritual faith is the first thing to go out the window. Because we go, you know, God says this. Steve, God says this. And then Steve goes, yes, but. Huh? Can you truthfully say that your faith and complete trust and confidence is in God, that he is your firm foundation, that he makes everything in your life worth living, that there's a conviction of the truthfulness of his promises over your life? Is your faith in God full of trust, belief, confidence, conviction, reliance, dependence, optimism, hopefulness, expectation? Is it truly your handle on that which you cannot see? Now, I don't know that any of us speaking for myself as well, can claim that statement as absolutely true in our own strength. I don't know if you can. Maybe I'm wrong. And maybe you can, and God bless you. But man, I need Jesus to help me with this. I can't claim that statement for myself. I do not have the strength. I don't. To claim that is absolutely true. But Jesus and His presence and His power enables me and equips me and empowers me and strengthens me and gives me that supernatural faith. Remember this one? Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. You seek Him first, and the supernatural faith will come. It's not the other way around. We don't kind of look at this. We don't have faith in faith. We have faith in Jesus, and He empowers us and equips us to do the stuff. Yeah? It's not about faith in faith. Because if I have faith in faith, then I name it, claim it, and frame it. And when it doesn't work out the way I want it to, then it's my fault. But you know what? When I got faith in Jesus, hey, when it works out, He gets the glory. And when it doesn't work out, I don't beat myself up. Yeah? I know that I need spirit-filled, supernatural faith, and I know that you do as well. And now, we're going to look at a few characters from the Bible. First one you may know, I'm not sure if you've read your Bible, you may know this guy, Jesus. Yeah? If you don't know Him, we'll talk. Okay. But even Jesus Himself was filled with the Spirit at His baptism. Luke 4:1. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led around by the Spirit in the wilderness. Jesus Himself was full of the Holy Spirit. Peter confirms this later on in Acts, where he says this: how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with His Holy Spirit and power. Do you see it? God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit and power, and He went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with Him. So you can't get supernatural faith without Jesus, without His presence, without going after Him first. Okay? If Jesus, the Son of God, needed the Holy Spirit, how much more do we? Yeah? How much more do we? Peter needed supernatural faith. He and John were brought before the Sanhedrin. Peter began to argue the case for Christ. And in Acts 4:8 says, Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people. And then he continued to unpack that story. And you can read it for yourself. We haven't got time. But Peter himself needed the Holy Spirit. We see that the disciples needed supernatural faith that came from the Holy Spirit. Peter and John, still before this, they were before the Sanhedrin. They were released. And what happened? Acts 4:31, after this. When they prayed, the place where they gathered together was shaken. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness. Were some of them? Was it just a couple of the guys? Was it just Peter and John? Was it? It says all of them that were gathered there. All. That includes you all, by the way. All. We all filled. We all need the Holy Spirit. Okay? Paul, who wrote almost a third of the New Testament, he needed the spirit-filled faith. In Acts 39, Saul, who is also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked straight at Elymas and said, filled with the Holy Spirit. Barnabas, Saul's friend, needed supernatural faith. For he, Barnabas, talk about Barnabas, a good man and full of the Holy Spirit and faith, was considerable numbers were brought to the Lord. Are you kind of to see a pattern? That we need supernatural faith, but it only comes with the presence of God. This isn't something you can kind of go, I'm going to discipline myself into having faith. Just so you know, I've tried. It doesn't work. Especially when you're facing the real things of your life, like family sickness and death and stuff like that. You can't drum this stuff up, friends. I promise you, you can't. You need Jesus to get you through this. And when we see even the book in the book of Acts, we even see people who are given responsibility within the community need supernatural faith, need the presence of God. Okay? Remember the disciples, there were lots of people and all that, and then the Grecians got a little bit upset because they weren't getting food and the food wasn't being distributed properly. Remember that story? Okay. Well, it did happen, okay. And it's in Acts 6. But read with me. Okay? So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, "It would be not right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be," I don't know if you saw it there, "full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them and will give our attention to prayer and the word and ministry of the word." Then going on, "This proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit." You see it? Full of faith and the Holy Spirit. There's like a link there, I think. Yeah? "Also Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. They presented these men to the apostles who prayed and laid their hands on them." Find people who are known to be full of the Spirit, full of faith and the Holy Spirit. Yeah? The people who are making coffee here on Sunday morning. Yeah? That's the deal. That's what they say. Everybody, not just the guy on the stage, not just the worship team, but the guy who's mowing the lawn, the coffee people, the tea people. You know? Where's Jesse? God bless you, the Spirit of God, the power of God upon you, Jesse, as you feed us and make us fat. So if you don't know, Jesse is... she's part of the reason I look like this. Every time I come to visit Ellen, she overfeeds me, you see. But J. Oswald Saunders said this, which kind of encapsulates what I'm talking about here. "All real Christian service is but the expression of the Spirit's power through believers yielded to Him." Everything you do is an expression of the Spirit's power as you yield to Him. And I know we go through difficulties this side of life. I know this side of life, this side of the curtain. Okay? We go through difficulties. We have stuff. We live in a fallen world. Jesus Himself said we will have trouble. Okay? But if we look to Jesus, if our faith is not in faith, but in Christ, He gets us through. He gets us through. Now, I want to read a passage. And I want you to just look at this picture and imagine Paul, okay? Or just close your eyes and listen as I slowly just read this. It's 2 Corinthians 11. "Are they servants of Christ? I can go one better." This is Paul speaking. "I can go one better. I can't believe I'm saying these things. It's crazy to talk this way. But I started and I'm going to finish. I've worked much harder. Been jailed more often, beaten up more times than I can count, been at death's door time after time. I've been flogged 5 times with the Jews' 39 lashes, beaten by Roman rods 3 times, pummeled with rocks once. I've been shipwrecked 3 times and immersed in the open sea for a night and a day. In hard traveling year in and out, I've had to ford rivers, fend off robbers, struggle with friends, struggle with foes. I've been at risk in the city, at risk in the country, endangered by desert sun and sea and storm, betrayed by those who I thought were my brothers. I've known drudgery and hard labor, many a long and lonely night without sleep, many a missed meal, blasted by the cold, naked to the weather. And that's not the half of it. When you throw in the daily pressures and anxieties of all the churches." Now that's Paul, a guy who did amazing things, who had supernatural, spirit-filled faith. Okay? Now we just read this. Now how, after that's happening, because often we go through stuff in life and we go, no, this Christianity thing doesn't work. How, after Paul recounts that, does he say this? "We have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. That's why I say, this deal doesn't work without Jesus. This deal doesn't work without the power and presence of God in your life. You can't discipline yourself into this. You can't make yourself believe this. We need the presence of God. We need supernatural, spirit-filled faith that comes from Him. As we look to Christ, as we encounter His presence, that is what gets us through. That is when we can say, you know what, I'm hard-pressed, but I'm not crushed. That is where I can say I'm perplexed, but I'm not in despair. I'm persecuted, but not abandoned. I'm struck down, but I'm not destroyed. Because you can't say that in the natural. You can't. I mean, it just doesn't make sense. Like to a non-Christian reading this, that go, you oaks are out of your mind. Think about it. Does this make any sense to a non-Christian? Doesn't at all. To an atheist reading this, they'd go, yeah, dude, no, there's something wrong with you. The only way Paul got through this was with the spirit-filled natural faith. You know, when we planted our church in odd 2000, we had a facility, I had the keys, everything was ready. And it took us months to find somewhere to meet. Huh? And then on that, about 2 weeks before we met, I think it was about 2 weeks before we met, get a call from the superintendent of libraries. He says, no, he wants the keys back. You can't use the facility. He's giving it to another mate of his with another church. Now, Mandy and I and our leaders believe that God has called us to plant a church. Now, we haven't got a facility. It took us like so many months to find somewhere. Where do we find it? We prayed. We believed, we trusted. And you know where we planted? In a Catholic school. I don't know how that happened. But God said there's going to be a church. And you guys are going to go and plant this church. And He planted us in that community. I don't know. You know, that's how we do this. And if you want supernatural faith, you need to voluntarily surrender your will and your life to God. You know, it happens when your mind, your emotions, your will, your strength become His to lead. That's when this happens. That's when you get into this thing. That's when you become the person God has called you to become. Now I might upset some people now, but it's okay. How do you know if you're doing this? Like this. Tell me how you spend your time, your energy, and your money. You see, now a few people are not even looking at me now. I can see, oh no, I can see where he's going with this. Eh? Oh, flip. I was enjoying this sermon until he started getting personal. Huh? How do you spend your time, energy, and money? Because those three things will show your priorities. They'll show what you truly value. Show me your calendar and your bank balance, and I'll show you what's important to you. Let me give you an illustration. I value my marriage, okay? Now, if you looked at my calendar and my bank statement and what you saw every month was money spent at Brookwood Trout Farm on fly fishing stuff, new fly fishing outfits, and going to Dahlstrom fishing every weekend. Or if you looked at my calendar and you saw a romantic evening here and a bunch of flowers there and a bottle of wine here, a little weekend away there. What our value? If you look at those two pictures. That's the deal. You know, if you look at your bank balance, your time, your energy, and your money, that'll show you. Okay? So as you examine your life, how are you spending your time, energy, and money? Because, listen guys, I said it, and I'll say it again. You cannot do this thing. You can't get through this thing without supernatural faith. Because when the real things of life hit, I'm not talking about a flat tire. Talk about the stuff that we can't fix ourselves. Do you know what I mean? There's a Chinese proverb that pops into my head now, and it goes something like this. Money can buy a house, but not a home. It can buy employees, but not relationships. It can buy medicine, but not health. And it kind of goes on. I forget the rest of it. But that's the kind of stuff I'm talking about. When the real stuff of life happens, the only way you get through it is with supernatural faith. Because that's the very definition of a miracle is something that we can't do ourselves, isn't it? And we need God's miraculous life in our lives. And that is where we are strengthened. That is where our life comes from. That is where we walk in the fullness of who God's called us to be. And it's His presence that comes and changes us for that life. So, this morning, I started off and I want to ask the question again. Does anyone need supernatural faith? A baptism of the Holy Spirit? Does anyone need God's presence to come and fill you and get you through? To give you that, peace that transcends all understanding in your circumstances. Because it only comes with encountering Jesus. And then the second thing is, who of us need healing this morning? So, I'm gonna stop there, and I want us to take a little bit of time to pray. Is that okay? Yes. And don't worry about the silence. It can feel uncomfortable sometimes. But can we take a few moments to just wait on God? Because this whole week I've had a sense that He wants to do something, impart something, activate something in lives here today. So come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, in this place. Come, Lord. Come and minister to your people, Lord.